Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus teaches the lesson that less is always more when you have Jesus. Leading up to the gospel lesson, what happens is a man wants to know what he must do to inherit the kingdom of God. What must he do to get eternal life? And so this man comes running to Jesus and falls on his knees before a great crowd in front of Jesus. And he's desperate. He's desperate to know how to get eternal life. And it's sort of ironic that this man, of all men, is desperate. Desperate from Jesus to know how to get eternal life. You see, this man, he's not some terrible sinner with a checkered past, worried about how to pay for all those really bad things he's done. He's actually a pretty good guy. He even tells Jesus he's followed all the commandments of God since his youth. And this man's not a poor, blind, crippled person hoping to be relieved from the earthly woes of this life. He's got it all. He's a rich guy. He has extreme wealth, the Bible says. And so Jesus tells this man who comes to him in desperation, this really good guy, this really rich guy, you lack one thing. Sell everything and follow me. And the guy goes away sad, the Bible says, because he had such great wealth. And that's when Jesus replies to the crowds how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And those words should resonate with us this morning, because no matter what your economic status is, if you live in the United States of America, you are in the top like 2% of wealth in the entire world. So what's Jesus' point? It's not that you have to give money to buy your way into heaven, or that it's sinful to have great wealth. You can't buy eternal life, and it's not sinful to have wealth. So what's Jesus' point? It's not that you can do this or that really great thing to impress God enough to give you eternal life. It's not about anything that you can do or that you haven't done. You can do nothing to get eternal life. So what's Jesus' point? Jesus' point is simply this. Less is always more, unimaginably more, when you have Jesus. In fact, when you have Jesus, you don't need anything else at all. Nothing. If you have Jesus, you have everything, even eternal life. And so don't let anything in this world get in the way of you or your kids having Jesus. Because when you have Jesus, you have everything, you lack nothing. So what's the problem with the rich guy? It's not that he's rich. So what's the problem with the rich guy? It's not that he's a pretty good Joe. What's the problem with the rich guy? It's that his faith, his trust, his love is for his wealth and his goodness. This guy's loaded. He's a first century millionaire, perhaps billionaire, but he recognizes that this Jesus is someone special, someone who has something that he doesn't have, that he can't buy. Extraordinary power, supernatural power. This Jesus has power over death. He raised the dead. That's why this guy comes to Jesus. This Jesus must be from God. He speaks like no one he's ever heard of before. He speaks with power. This Jesus, if he can raise the dead, then he can give me the certain hope for the resurrection, eternal life, the rich man thinks. Because even this really good, really rich guy knows that eventually his life's going to end. He's going to die. No matter what happens, even this really rich, really good guy is going to die. And so he goes to this Jesus, and he falls on his knees in desperation. This Jesus has to know the secret. He is the guy who must be able to give me the assurance of my life, my eternal life. He must be able to direct me to what I must do or how much I must give to get this power over death. This really rich guy, this really good guy, has everything, but he lacks one thing: assurance of eternal life. He can't lay his head down on a pillow at night knowing that if he dies in his sleep, he will be in eternal life. And so that's why he goes and he falls on his knees before Jesus, this God who raises the dead, and he begs Jesus for assurance. And Jesus' answer, in essence, was something like this. You want to know what you can do to earn eternal life. The bad news is, you can do nothing to earn eternal life. You haven't kept the camp commandments perfectly as you think you have. No one has. And you haven't just sort of missed God's standard. You've missed it a whole lot. You're riddled with sin. You're riddled with filth. As Isaiah says, even your good deeds are filthy rags before your God. You worship your wealth more than God. You worship yourself and your self-righteous works more than God. You worship the creation more than the Creator, who has given you everything you have. What must you do to earn eternal life? Nothing. You can't do anything to pay back everything you've messed up. And take heart. I will pay it all for you. You want eternal life? I'll give you eternal life. Follow me. Follow me to the cross where I'm going to pay for all your sins. I will purchase your forgiveness and your inheritance into eternal life. Leave all your stuff. It can't save you. It can't satisfy you. If it could, you wouldn't be here on your knees in front of me. You want eternal life? You can't buy the resurrection of the dead. But your wealth can get in the way of you receiving it. So sell it. Help the poor. Do something good with it while you're on earth. Follow me. If it's eternal life you want, eternal life I will give you. And you have to do nothing or give nothing for it. You come to me asking for eternal life. You who are so good and so rich, you lack one thing. You lack me. Follow me to a tomb that will be empty, and I will make your tomb empty. Less is always more when you follow me. Come, follow me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Love me. Worship me, and I will raise your body, your flesh and bones and blood. I will raise it. I will empty your tomb, and you will live forever. He who has ears, let him hear. And so if Jesus walked up to you into your life, or you saw Jesus and you came to him, and you ask Jesus, what must you do to gain eternal life? Or he just walked into your life and said, leave everything. Leave all your stuff, everyone in your life. Leave your job, your family, and follow me. What would you do? Would you walk away sad like the rich man in the text? This is a question that many preachers pose to the hearers on a Sunday like this when preaching this text. But I do not believe it's actually a question that's for you. The good news for you today is that you don't need to answer that question. It's not a question for you who have already been baptized into Christ. You have already come here this morning, confessed your sins today, and already receive Christ's forgiveness for those sins, shed for you on a cross. You see, you don't have to make this big choice to leave everything and follow Jesus because he's already chosen that way for you in your baptism. He chose you to not just have a little water dumped on your head in his name, but when you had that water dumped in his name on your head, guess what also happened to you according to St. Paul? You were clothed with all of Christ's righteousness. And more than this, you were crucified with Christ. And so now the life you live is not your own. It is Christ living in you and through you. And you do not need to make this choice of what you would do if Christ told you to sell everything and follow him. This is not a text about selling all your possessions and following Jesus. You see, the law of this text, the questioning of the heart of this text in particular, is for the person who comes to the foot of the cross still wanting their good works, their good deeds, their health, and their wealth to count for something to impress Jesus enough to give salvation, to be able to add something to the work that Jesus already accomplished for you by himself. But you, having gone the way of the cross in your baptism, you've been crucified already. Your sinful nature has been put to death. And so now you and I, with St. Paul, confess, I consider all things rubbish next to Christ and him crucified. Because that's what faith in Christ confesses. All things are rubbish next to Christ. And that's why you've come here today. Right? Not to impress Jesus with all your good works or to offer him some payment for your eternal life. Like the rich man, you've come here and you've fallen on your knees before Jesus. That's true. Like the rich man, you've done so because you recognize that this Jesus is the one who has the power to raise your body to eternal life. But unlike the rich man, you have not come here to impress Jesus, but to confess to Jesus the many times that you have fallen short of his glory, the many times that you have worshipped your possessions, your wealth, your health, your wisdom, the many times you've trusted that your good deeds were enough to impress Jesus and account for something for your salvation. You've come here to confess the many times you failed to acknowledge that Jesus, the creator of all, the savior of all, is the one who's given you everything you own in this life and in the next. You've come here to confess all of this to Jesus because you know you need Jesus. You know you need Jesus to forgive all your sins. You can't do anything to make it right. You can't pay anything to make it right. You need Jesus today, not just the day you were baptized back whenever that was. You need him today and this week and this month and every year of your precious life. Jesus is who you need, and he's all you need. You know that. That's why you've come here today. And the good news is you have Jesus. Jesus is here today to forgive your sins today, to reissue his promise today, to raise your body, your flesh and your bones and your blood from the dead forever and ever. You lack nothing because you have Jesus. You're free. Free from the fear of death. You can lay your head on the pillow knowing that even if you pass in your sleep, you'll wake up for eternity with Jesus forever. You're free from the fear of having to do a list of things to impress a God who might forgive you. You have a God who has forgiven you with his death and resurrection. You are free. Free to enjoy your possessions as gifts from Jesus, not to feel guilty for them, and to use them to bless other people, not to pay God off. You don't need to give Jesus anything because Jesus owns everything. He's the king of the world. You don't need to give Jesus anything because he's given himself for you. He doesn't need anything from you. He's given himself for you. His death for your life. Yes, all you need is Jesus. And you have Jesus. And with Jesus, you have everything. You lack nothing. You have Jesus. He's your life. The whole world could pass away. You could lose all your possessions and every person that's important to you. And yet, because you have Jesus, you have everything. And you know, unlike the rich man in the text, you know without a doubt that less is always, forevermore, with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.